Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. As we began this service, we prayed, O God, who on this day taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending to them the light of your Holy Spirit, grant us the same Spirit to have a right judgment in all things and to evermore rejoice in his holy comfort. We began, we sang, Hail thee, festival day, day when the Holy Ghost shone in the world with God's grace. We also sang, Come, Holy Spirit, heavenly dove, with all thy quickening powers, kindle a flame of sacred love in these cold hearts of ours. And later on we will sing, God of grace, God of glory, on thy people pour thy power. And of course we sing and say all these things today, because today is the day of Pentecost, what sometimes we call the birthday of the church, but more importantly, the occasion we commemorate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, although Luke and John seem to disagree about the timing of that. Grant us the same Spirit, we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, we sing. But I can't help but wonder, do we really mean it? Do we really mean it? At our Wednesday service, I asked the question to the group that was gathered, what is the Holy Spirit? And I got a lot of different answers from a lot of different people. A comforter, an advocate, peacefulness, a companion. And all of those descriptions are true. We can, without hesitation, proclaim, come Holy Spirit, to that kind of spirit. It's the spirit of our gospel lesson. A spirit that does ease our distress, encourages us, and comes to us in times of trouble to remind us of Jesus' presence and promises. That peaceful, soothing image of God's breath that whispers in our hearts and minds and assures us that we are never alone. Any seminary student in their first week of seminary learns the Hebrew word ruach. It's the wind of creation, of life, of newness. It's the breath, the Spirit of God, that swept over the face of the water and literally formed us into existence. We like that Spirit. Of course we do. Come, Holy Spirit, to that Spirit. But that proclamation on this day, on the day of Pentecost, is for me somewhat ironic. Because I think if we're honest with ourselves, I'd be willing to bet that we would rather avoid the Holy Spirit of Pentecost. Because everywhere you look, in all the familiar Pentecost scenes and texts, the Holy Spirit isn't comforting anyone or anything. In fact, it's quite the opposite. You just heard it. Violent winds, descending flame, tongues of flame. Words were used like bewildered, amazed, astonished, languages they didn't even understand. And the Spirit in this case is not comforting anyone because normalcy is no longer an option. This violent wind will propel these disciples into a hostile world. In a very public way, making a very public scene, making the same disturbing, disruptive testimony and the troubling good news that had their leader, an itinerant preacher from the backwaters of Palestine, put to death. But that's okay. Let's celebrate anyway. We had a cake. It's the birthday of the church after all, right? Come, Holy Spirit. But do we mean it? Because on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is as much an agitator as an advocate, as much a disturbance as it is a comforter. And the church that supposedly is birthed this day was a group of friends huddled together because they were afraid. They were afraid for their lives. They stuck together, but I wonder if they'd known this spirit, if they wouldn't have run like the Dickens in an attempt to avoid what was about to happen. When that violent wind came, though, they did not divide up into committees, pass out bulletins, have a bake sale, or start planning Sea of Galilee Sunday. Instead, this spirit was dangerous. It was dangerous. The disciples were hurled into this hostile world, proclaiming an absurd story. The violent wind didn't solve their problems, it created them. The violent wind gave them a job, but the job wasn't to form an organization. The job was to make disciples. They faced a road of obstacles and adventures that brought scars, brokenness, isolation, and even death, all just to tell a story. Come, Holy Spirit, but do we mean it? Because if that Holy Spirit is truly like a violent wind, a disruptive force of nature, then who really needs that? Who really needs that in their lives? Life is hard enough. And besides, that spirit for some reason always seems to change things. It changes us. It changes long-held beliefs. It changes positions. It changes customs. It even changes theologies. And despite what we proclaim, that's just a burden greater than many of us are willing to bear. Come, Holy Spirit. But do we mean it? Well, here's a news flash. It ain't up to you. The Spirit of God, the Ruach of God, the violent wind is an act of God, solely of God. It doesn't depend on your consent. And God will crash our parties. God will say yes to all our polite no thank yous, so often inviting folks and circumstances to our parties that we try so hard to avoid. And timing? Well, timing is usually a problem. In fact, timing is always a problem because it's on God's time, not ours. And we can hide from that wind. We can seek shelter from it. We can even ignore it. But not a single one of us can avoid it. It is the wind that summons us to look outside ourselves and to find something that is calling us. Maybe it's a problem. Maybe it's an opportunity. Maybe it's a ministry. And to discover ourselves by giving ourselves away. And I've never known anyone to pray, "Come, Holy Spirit," so that we might always be the same. Instead, we pray for that wind to make us different. Different than that crazy world around us that allows us to love the unlovable, to be humble even when we're not, to forgive the unforgivable, to share what we have, and to care for what we've been given. It is the wind that sometimes blows against our very human nature, into the nature of God. And maybe the point of Pentecost isn't merely remembering what happened on this day so long ago. Maybe the point is that Pentecost continues to happen, whether we recognize it or not, and whether we want it or not. So come, Holy Spirit. Come alongside of us. Yes, we need you to comfort and defend and counsel us, but I think just as much we need you to disturb us, to provoke us. We are not called to raise Jesus from the dead or save humanity from their sins. That's already been done. Instead, we're called to make disciples, to be a new creation created by the Ruach of God, and to live out what we promise in our baptismal vows, to seek and serve Christ in all persons, to respect the dignity of every human being, to tell a story and to somehow point people toward what God has already done and is already making happen. Then all of a sudden, new stories happen. Stories of us being present for one another, of seeking justice, of giving, of serving, of humility, of caring, and of selflessness. And to be a part of those stories, some of us might need just a gentle whisper, and others of us might need a violent wind. But But where that wind blows us makes all the difference in the world. God love you. Amen.